It's a new song we introduced at the missions conference. We invite you to sing along and let this be your anthem of praise over these next number of weeks.
You never stop working.
In John chapter 10, if you'll turn there in your Bible, we find the Jewish leaders questioning Jesus in the temple. And the little video that was designed to give us an insight into the Gospel of John talks about this very idea, the exchange that takes place right here in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 22, listen to these words. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. Verse 24, so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe me because you are not among my sheep." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Listen, when the Jewish leaders wanted to catch Jesus in a trap, you need to understand that he just gave them what they wanted. It would be as if this, if the Jewish leaders had a fire, Jesus just threw dynamite on top of it. These words were indicting about who he was. They were powerful and they were meant to make a statement. Look next at verse 31. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. From which of them are you going to stone me?" Verse 37, skip on down. It says, "If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, my words, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Jesus said to these Jewish leaders, if you don't believe my words, believe the signs you're seeing lived out around you. He was saying to the skeptics, you can see for yourself. But for us today, we're going to begin an 8-week series where we look at the words and the actions of Jesus to find this incredible God, Creator God, who is who he says he is. The Gospel of John does an incredible job of recording and describing the works of Jesus. This is the reason he wrote the book. Don't turn here, but let me read to you John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Listen to this. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, the Gospel of John, if we read the entire Gospel, here's what you're going to find. You will find what Jesus did, you will find what Jesus said, and you will find how people respond to him. That's what this entire Gospel account is about. So over the next 8 Sundays, we are going to dive into the first, really just the first 5 chapters of the Gospel of John. Why are we doing that? What are we looking for? Over and over, you will see that Jesus is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He is a light in the darkness. You're going to find over these next 8 weeks as we read together that he brings hope for the hurting. And we'll find that the good news of Jesus is life-changing and it's still worth repeating 2,000 years later. We still talk about all the good things that are happening. Listen, friends, there's a lot of good things happening in our city right now. It's a great time to live in Albertville, isn't it? Hey, nobody's bad to be here. Come on, it's a good time to be. I love our city. I love living here. Lots of good things are happening. But I want to tell you something. Of all the good news that we're getting, you know what? We got to love our city a little better. It's a good time to live in Albertville, isn't it? Okay, come on. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. But I want you to know something. When you think about all the great, it seems like every week we're getting an announcement of something new that's being brought to our area. And I got to tell you, it's good news to know that Dunkin' Donuts is coming. That's good news. It's not as good news as Krispy Kreme, but it's good. It'll work, you know. But I want to tell you, as great, I am thankful. And it's exciting to see the different things that are happening. But can I tell you, there's no way that 2,000 years from now, someone's going to look back and say, do you remember the day that Dunkin' Donuts came to Albertville, Alabama? I mean, if it's Krispy Kreme, maybe. But that's not what we're going to say. Well, and it's not that it's bad, but it doesn't, it pales. It's wonderful news, but it pales in comparison to this good news. Don't take for granted that 2,000 years later, we are still saying, let's not forget what Jesus did. Let's not forget that he turned water into wine. Let's not forget that he brought Lazarus back to life. Let's not forget that he healed the woman with the issue of blood. Let's not forget that he raised that dead girl back to life. Let's not forget that Jesus brought hope and healing and peace and comfort. Let's not forget that he went to the cross and died for you and me. Listen, friends, it's a banner day, and it's good news that is still worth repeating. And so over the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about this Waymaker. But we're going to start today with John chapter 1. Would you turn to chapter 1? John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now let me share with you something that I've told you before we read this. I can specifically remember, and I want to tell you how powerful the Word of God is and how powerful the Gospel of John is. There's no mistake as to why this is the book. If there's one book of the Bible that we encourage someone who's searching for Jesus to read, we always tell them to start with John. That's most Christian leaders and most believers have been taught. If someone's trying to find out about Jesus, start in the Gospel of John. It works. I've told you guys this before, but let me repeat it. When we were living in Maine, I started a Bible study with a couple of guys who didn't know Jesus. One who had just come to know him, and one who was very skeptical, who didn't know him very well at all, really. His name was Paul, and didn't know the Bible. And so we met together, and we would meet inside this little building on Thursdays. And what we decided we would do is that we would read all of the Gospel of John in a week. So on this Thursday, we said, okay, everybody read every chapter of the Gospel of John, and we'll come back next week, and then we'll discuss some things about it. So we went and had our week. We got back the next week, and I said, who read their Bible? Eric said, I didn't get all the way through John. And Paul said, I didn't get all the way through it. I read some, but not enough. I said, okay, let's do it again. Same thing, start over, read it again. Let's come back next week. Come back the next week. Eric said, I got all of it. I read every last word of it, Pastor. That's how he said, Pastor, that's what he called me. And Paul said, I didn't read it all again. I said, okay, Paul, we're going to keep doing this till you get it, buddy. And so we went the next week, and we were all going to read all the Gospel of John. We come back in. He had read now parts of it. This is his third time. Gets to the end. He comes back the next Thursday, sits down first thing. He looks across the room and says, I'm in. So what do you mean? I'm in. This Jesus, I got it. I'm in. I have Jesus now. Just from reading the Gospel of John. He didn't need me to come up with words to tell him. The man gave his life to the Lord. From reading the Gospel of John three times, we don't ever need to forget that there's power in the Word of God. Listen, there's power in the Word of God. Yeah, we're going to have to step up to amens, or we're never going to get out of here today, okay? So I'm just encouraging you with that, amen? That's what I thought, okay. All right, so you need to understand that there's power in the Word of God. And you may say, I don't know, people getting saved just from reading God's Word. Listen, if you think they're getting saved any other way, that's what's crazy. God's word is truth. It's life. It contains the life, and it is life. And so God can do that. So as we study through John, we're going to see how he is the way maker. Jesus is the promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. We'll see all of that right here in these first few chapters. Look at John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. That means Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, what does that mean? It means Jesus has always been. And Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It's a whole other message if we start talking about the triune Godhead and how that works and how we explain that. But you need to understand that Jesus has always been. He always will be. He is the Creator. He has created all things, the scripture says right here. And that he was a light in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the creator of all things. He is life. He is the light of men. So if that's the case, what is this darkness that John 1 talks about? Who's the darkness, or what is the darkness? Listen, it's simple. Life without Jesus is darkness. There's a lot of people living life without Jesus, and they are in darkness. The fallen world filled with sin is darkness. Darkness is often a cover for evil. Darkness is often a place of confusion. Listen, I can vividly remember growing up as a child in the late 70s and in the early 80s as a young teenager, and I would be on my bicycle and my parents would say to me, okay, be back home before dark. Which, by the way, is crazy to me now that I think about it. I would drive all over Northeast Huntsville. I would leave right where we live by Chapman School, and I'd drive through down to Five Points and around. I'd ride my bike down to downtown sometimes, to Big Spring Park and around. I'd stop back by Zesto's and get a corn dog because that was a good thing for kids to do. And I'd make my way back to my house and all do all this riding around as a young man. And I think, I don't even hardly want my kids out in the front yard without me knowing where they are these days. You know why? Because listen, there's a lot of darkness in the daylight today. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? But back then it was the way. So my parents would say to me, you be home by dark. How many had your parents tell you that? Okay, all right. Now the next thing you can remember, you get a little older as a teenager, and I can very vividly remember my parents telling me, there's nothing good that happens in the middle of the night. How many of you had a parent tell you that? How many of you found it to be true? I mean, it is true. Nothing good happens in the middle of the night. There's no reason for that. So darkness, we all get it. We understand when it says Jesus was the light in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. We get it. We understand what that means. Darkness will confuse you and play tricks on you. Not too long ago, you know, we were, it was back in the fall, early fall, it was still warm, and so there were had seen a snake out on our property, and I don't like snakes. Some people say, oh, snakes are harmless. No, that's not true. I don't like snakes. Someone says, you know, I don't even, people say, well, only good snakes are dead snakes. I don't even like dead snakes. I don't like any kind of snake. And so you need to understand that I'd seen one, and I know that's just part of living out with a little bit of land. I'm going to see them from time to time, and so that's okay. I was fine. I was doing what I needed to do, but then you go to bed at night. In the middle of the night, you wake up and have to get up for a minute, and you look, and there's your belt lying on the floor in the dark. And it's a snake. I mean, you know how that goes in your mind. So it can be confusing, but it's just a belt, but it can be very confusing in your mind. Darkness covers the truth. Darkness brings you to a place where things seem much different than they are. Years ago, I've told you guys this story, but back in the late 80s, I took a group of teenage boys, young boys, to a caverns where you go back in the very back and they will flip, they have a big switch, they make it look real big, and they'll flip the lights off so you're in total darkness in this caverns for just a moment. Real darkness, not darkness like it's dark at your house but your clock is glowing, or it's dark at your house but an outside light's there. I mean total darkness that you feel, it just soaks you up. And I can remember, I decided, they only kept them off for like 4 or 5 seconds, but I thought, I'll play a little trick on these young men. And so I had one of those watches that had the little, the hands on the watch would glow kind of a bright green, and so in the dark. And so my watch, I had, when they flipped the lights off, I had it covered up. And so as soon as they flipped the lights off, I put it about 2 inches in front of one of those 12-year-old boys, because that's the best kind of scare. And I put my watch right there in front of his face, and I moved my hand, and those glowing, and he started screaming, echoing through there, that he said, it's coming, look, way off in the distance. And he thought there was some creature with glowing eyes way off in the distance, but it was my watch 2 inches in front of his face. It was fun. It was awesome. Parents, give that a try, is all I'm saying, okay? So, but here's what you need to know. His perception of reality was way off in the dark. So is yours. When life gets dark, our perception of what's true and what's real, what's close up, what's far away, what's big, what's little, it all gets changed. So when the scripture says that Jesus is a light in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, listen, he brings truth back to light. He brings the right perception back to life. Darkness, we understand darkness. But friends, we got to understand what Jesus does in the middle of that. Look at verse 6 now. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. John, not the one who wrote the Gospel of John, by the way. He's speaking of another John. He's speaking of John the Baptizer, the cousin of Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus. John was not the light, but John came to speak truth about the light. Now in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says something different. He says to his followers, which would be you and me as well, you are the light. So in John, we're told we're not the light. Jesus is the light. In Matthew, Jesus says, you're the light. So what's the difference and what does that mean? What Jesus is saying, that we're not generating the light, but because we are followers of Jesus, we are reflecting the light of Jesus to others around us. That's our calling. So as a believer, listen, you and I, we will either reflect the light, we will block the light, or we will distract people from the light. The point is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to illuminate the grace and truth that's in front of us. The lights in this room, their point is not to draw attention to themselves. Most of you have not looked up one bit to see the lights. Go ahead and take a look up. See the lights? You can check out what they look like and all these things. Most of you didn't come in and do that. Why? Because the light was doing its job. It wasn't distracting and getting attention on itself. Instead, it was illuminating what was in front of you, what you're supposed to be looking at. Well, that's our calling. It's part of the light of the world. It's not about getting attention for ourselves. It is us illuminating, reflecting the light of Jesus, pointing it to him. That is our calling in life. Now, listen. We didn't see a lot of sunshine last week, but if you look over at these windows, I see some peeking through right now. Can't wait to get out and see if that feels nice and warm. I bet it's probably not going to feel too warm, but at least it looks nice and bright. We didn't see a lot last week, but I want you to picture in your mind, maybe do this, maybe just close your eyes and picture a good, warm summer day. Not a 110 degree July day, but a warm summer day. And you can feel the warmth of the sunlight on your arms. You feel that warmth. It's just right and it's nice. Okay, now come back. Open those eyes back up. You need to understand something. That warmth you feel from the sun, that came from the sun, which is 93 million miles away. Think about this for a moment. That sunlight left the sun 8 minutes and 20 seconds ago, traveled at the speed of light, which is 186,287 feet per second. And it took it 8 minutes and 20 seconds to get to your skin. Now you can believe what left the sun was a lot hotter than what ended up on your skin. Isn't it nice to know that God knew just the right math to make that work, the right distance, so that we wouldn't just burst into a ball of flames? He's a creator God. Jesus did that. John 1 tells us so. But I want you to picture when you feel that light. And I want you to stop and think about something. That light, and I realize there's more scientific ways to explain this, and you can Google it to see how it was balls of gas at first on the sun and then how it's released. But the simplest way to put it is that sunlight left the sun 8 minutes and 20 seconds ago, and what's coming in that window right now, it traveled at the speed of light, 186,287 miles per second for 8 minutes and 20 seconds to reach that window for you to be able to feel it on your skin. That's mind-blowing. But did you ever stop to think that that sunlight was unobstructed for 8 minutes and 20 seconds? Nothing got in its way. No object, Nothing got in its way. It came directly. It was headed straight for the earth. It comes 93 million miles. Gets right here close to the earth. It comes within 3 feet of the earth. And then boom, you get in the way and block it. And your shadow is an example of how you can obstruct something so grand and beautiful as it makes its way. And at the last moment, it can be blocked just like that. Have you ever thought about your shadow? It's a good representation of what happens in Christ if we're not careful. See, as believers, if we're not careful, we can, through our attitudes, through our actions, we can block the grace and truth of Jesus. We can block a true representation and picture of him. We can block what's happening. So our calling is that we would never block that, but that we would bear witness to him, as it says in the scripture here in John 1, 6 through 8. You and I are called to bear witness, not to block. So let me ask you a question. Do people see grace and truth in you? I hope so. Give them an unobstructed view of the light of God. Is your attitude sometimes one that would lead people not to see grace and truth? If so, your shadow is casting away from the truth. Don't block that view. Are our actions blocking that view? Just like John, how you live and how I live matters. Look at verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but to God. You and I have been given the right to become children of God because of what Jesus did for us. That's awesome. That's an amazing thing to celebrate. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Now friends, aren't you thankful that Jesus came in grace and truth? I am. If he came only in truth with no grace, we'd all get what we deserve. Separation for him for eternity. But he came with grace and truth. The Creator God made a way. He became a light in a darkness so that a promise could be kept right here. That we have the right to become children of God because of what he offers to us. He worked a miracle for you and for me in salvation. That song we sang earlier, it fits perfect for this passage. It's truth. It's what he did for you and for me. So my question is simply this. Will you bear witness of Jesus like John the Baptizer did? Will you help people see Jesus as a way maker, as a promise keeper? So what is the promise? That all who believe in his name have the right to become a son or daughter of God. Listen, if you've been doubting your salvation today, the first verse I read from John chapter 20 John chapter 10 talks about the fact that he holds you in his hand and that his sheep know his voice. He holds them in his hand and no one can snatch them out. Listen, friends, if you have Jesus in your life, you're secure. You're safe in him. You cannot be undone with him. He has you. But friends, it's more than that. I would also encourage you to know that he keeps all of his promises. So if you are an adopted son or daughter of God, then that means something specific for how you and I can live our lives, for how we can rest in his grace and receive what he has for us. So I invite you today to stop and grab a hold of that truth. If you've been struggling with something going on in your life and you're not sure how you're going to be provided for, can I encourage you today to grab a hold of the promise of God that he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides? Now, I don't know exactly how he's going to provide for you, but I know that he can and he does and he will. If you've been struggling with some resentment or anger or issue with someone else, can you grab a hold of the fact that God is the one who can make a way when there's not a way, when you don't seem that there's any way you'll be able to get past this on your own? The good news is you don't have to get past it on your own. He will be the one to do the work in your heart, make it new, make you new. He can do that. So what do we do with this passage from John chapter 1 today? Three things real quick, everyone listening. First of all, claim the promise of salvation. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, the first thing you need to do today is claim the promise of salvation. Receive the free gift of grace that God provides. He is the light in the darkness. He is the one that makes a way for you. He is the one that gives new life. He is the Lamb of God, as we will see in the coming weeks, who takes away the sin of the world. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, would you right now simply commit your life to Jesus. Receive his free gift of grace. Secondly, though, for those of us that do know him, what I encourage you to do with this passage today is make a decision to reflect the light. Don't block the light anymore. Reflect the light. How do you do that? Look at your own life. Look at your actions and your attitudes. Look at how you're living your life. Are you blocking the work of God by casting a shadow that is not showing the true proper grace and truth of Jesus? Or are you giving a good representation as a reflection of the light of who he is? I would invite you, if you've been dealing with some major negativity or you find yourself as someone who has been handling things wrong or incorrectly in some situation in your home, in your workplace, in your community, I would encourage you to come get on your knees and repent. Repentance means to change your mind and change your direction. To say, God, I apologize. I'm sorry. I would like to stop being this way, and I want by your power to be this way. I want to follow your truth and your plan. Some of us need to offer a true representation of Christ today, and it's time for repentance. But then maybe for some, we need to simply be like John the Baptizer. It's time that we commit to bear witness about the Messiah. To bear witness about this light, to bear witness about him. Now, John did it with his mouth. And I would encourage you to do it with your mouth as well. You need to understand that it's more than just living your life a certain way. That's very important. There is a time to speak words of truth about Jesus. So who in your family needs to hear the gospel? Who in your neighborhood needs to hear the gospel? Who in your community do you know desperately needs him that you can go and be the hands and feet of Jesus? We talked about this in the previous weeks about that it's not a y'all come kind of religion, that we're called to be a go and make disciples kind of people. And so for you, will you seek to bear witness about him as John did? I encourage you to do so. Would you bow your heads with me? Maybe for you, you need to give your life to him today. Maybe for you, you want to receive the gift of salvation. I want to invite you in just a moment. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. And as we sing, I want to invite you just to come right down front and let me pray with you if you want to give your life to Jesus. I'd love to do so. Now, you don't need me to pray with you. You can pray right where you're at, or you can come get on your knees and do so. But I'd love to pray with you. Maybe for others, you have given your life to Jesus. You've received his gift of salvation. He's done that work in you. And so you want to follow through in believer's baptism. You want to come today and say, I want to follow through with what the two young ladies did last week, what the young man's going to do next week. I want to come and publicly profess through baptism that Jesus is Lord of my life. Maybe for you, God's calling you to unite with our faith family. He's calling you to come and to join with us officially, that we might together make a difference for the kingdom, and that we might together proclaim and to make much of Jesus as John sought to do in John chapter 1. But maybe for the rest of us, it's simply this, that you realize that there's some way you've been blocking the light a little bit. Something going on in your life, or maybe you've got someone that you desperately want them to see the light of Jesus. So maybe you just want to come and get on your knees and pray. Listen, if you'll come pray, someone will come pray with you. Whatever God is saying to you, we're Would you be obedient to him today? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And don't wait on somebody else. You come right now as God directs.